In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're looking at an old Sunday school lesson about Jesus and sinners. And we're going to look at the point that Jesus proves his power to forgive sins. You may want to turn in your Bible and follow along with us. You'll find the passages we're reading are found in Mark chapter 2. In just a minute, I'm going to begin with verse 6, Mark chapter 2 and verse 6. Now, before we get to this lesson, I remind you the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, this has to do with the time when Jesus, seeing that man that had been let down before him on a cot by his four friends, they'd removed the roof and let him down in front of Jesus. And Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Let's look at Mark now, chapter 2, verse 6. There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak? He blasphemeth. For who can forgive sin but one, even God?" And straightway Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, saith unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins are forgiven? Or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the sick of palsy, "I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house." And he arose, and straightway took up the bed, and went before them all, inasmuch as they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." Jesus proposed to demonstrate the matter then by commanding the poor, helpless, palsied man who could not walk to arise and take up his bed and go home. I'm reading now from that Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of January the 15th, 1928. By doing this, which all could see, he showed his power, his authority, to do that which they could not see, and that is forgive sins. God gave to him this authority. Jesus would say, "The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me," John 10:25. And also, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do them, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father," John 10:37-38. Jesus calls himself the Son of Man because he was manifested in the flesh. And so before them all, at the command of Jesus, the sick man arose immediately and went forth. The stiff and shrunken limbs became at once alive and supple again, and the vigor and elasticity of youth returned. Making the effort through faith in Jesus, he received strength to arise and walk. That great audience was amazed, and no wonder. Nothing like this had been seen before, hence they admitted, "We never saw it on this fashion." They glorified God, gave him the praise and honor and healing of the paralytic. Yet how soon this applauding multitude turned from Jesus and saw him crucified, if not to help him do it, for they did not become his disciples. Note the woes he would later pronounce upon Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum for not repenting. You'll find those woes found in Matthew 11, verses 20 through 24. Now, there's more to this Sunday school lesson. Mark chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, "And it came to pass that he was sitting at meat in the house, and many publicans and sinners sat down with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and publicans, said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." See, Matthew, who was a publican, made Jesus and his disciples a great feast in his own house, to which many great publicans and other friends were invited. It seems that Matthew wanted his fellow publicans to hear Jesus. The call of Matthew to be an apostle in this feast did not occur at the same time. None of the writers give always what Christ did and said in their chronological order. They gather up incidences, sometimes from several parts of Christ's ministry, and group them together to explain some action of his and to show his authority and power. Jesus and his disciples attended the feast as they attended the marriage feast in Cana. It was not wrong for Christians to attend feasts prepared by unbelievers if, as Jesus did, they seek the good of all and the glory of God. Now, there was criticism from the scribes and Pharisees. We have learned who the scribes and Pharisees were. They were not guests at this feast, but they saw Jesus and his disciples there, or they knew they were there. They were on the watch. In their sight, it was wrong for religious teachers to mix with publicans and sinners, and hence, it was a great shock to their senses of propriety for Jesus to eat with such. By them, these publicans and sinners were classed with heathens and even with other apostles, thought Peter did wrong to eat with the Gentile in Acts chapter 11 and verse 3. They criticized Jesus to his disciples because he ate with publicans and sinners, putting himself on social equality with them. This was a taunt thrown into the face of the disciples. Scribes and Pharisees were just as great sinners, if not greater, but in another way. They rejected the commandments of God that they might keep their traditions, Mark 7, 7 through 9, and rejected Christ, while publicans and harlots went into the kingdom of God before them, Matthew 21, 31 and 32. No greater sins can be committed than Jesus charges them with in Matthew chapter 23. Well, Jesus had a reply. He either heard through those disciples who went with him, not able perhaps to reply to it themselves, or he overheard the scribes and Pharisees when they asked the question. He said unto them, They that are in health have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I am not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. The physically well man does not need the physician. The spiritually whole, the righteous, do not need to repent. Granting that these scribes and Pharisees were all they claimed for themselves, spiritually whole, strong and healthy morally, then they need not the physician. But from their own standpoint, these poor publicans and sinners were in great need of relief and of repentance. Jesus is the great physician of the soul. He went to the sin-sick, to those who felt their need of healing. These self-righteous Pharisees did not realize their own sinful condition and hence felt no need of Christ. There is much more hope for sinners, however deep in sin they may be, who realize their unworthiness of Jesus and their lost condition without him. than for the self-righteous. One must be humble, meek, and of a broken heart, to contrite spirit to be saved. Psalm 34:18. Matthew gives another reply still to this taunt. But go ye and learn what this meaneth. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. The sacrifices which God required when offered in submission to Him were always pleasing to Him. But even those sacrifices without mercy to men were not enough and were not acceptable. Any sacrifice which God did not require was not acceptable. This was a direct condemnation of these self-righteous, unmerciful Pharisees. We need to study this lesson more ourselves. There is much need of mercy yet. Are we merciful? The more we see of human weakness, frailty, and imperfection, the more we realize the great need of mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Well, that brings us to the end of the Sunday school lesson itself. But there is this little poem that is selected that goes in the space that is following this lesson. The title of it is, Then He Woke Up. There was a brother got the thought that he was strictly it just to get even with the church. He quit. The church folk bore it wondrously well. They never wailed nor moaned nor tore, but said, As you go out, don't slam the door. The brethren round the place did not go moping all that day. They smiled and said goodbye and went to pray. He thought, They do not realize that I have left them to their fate. So much the better, let them go. But wait. And then he ambled down the street and confidently told the town, Now, fellows, watch and see the church fall down. Somehow or other, it went on. The whole thing didn't go to smash. They just felt sorry that he was so rash. It rather stunned him that the church went calmly on through day and night, as well as when he used to keep it right. I turned the page in our little Sunday school book, and I've come to a Sunday school lesson prepared for the Sunday schools of January the 22nd, 1928. This one about Jesus and the law. The lesson text is Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 22, and Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Let me read them. And John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. And as they come and say unto him, Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the sons of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No man seweth a piece of undressed cloth on an old garment, else that which should fill it up taketh it, and the new from the old, and a worse rent is made. And no man putteth new wine into old wineskins, else the wine will burst the skins, and the wine perisheth in the skins. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins. And then Matthew 3:1-6. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man who had his hand withered. And they watched him whether he would heal on that Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man that had his hand withered, Stand forth. And he said unto them, Is it lawful on the Sabbath day to do good or harm, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about them with anger, being grieved at the hardening of the heart, he said to the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and his hand was restored. And the Pharisees went out straightway with the Herodians and took counsel against him, how they might destroy him.